Welcome to Gimcrack Video. How can I help you tonight?
Hey, yeah, we're just browsing for something a little different.
Well, have you tried our Forgotten Classics section?
Is that the one over there under the sign that says Blighted by God?
Oh, I found something. Have you seen this before?
Never heard of it. Let's grab it.
Enjoy your selection.
you know we're still here, right?
Oh.
It's perfect for our show, but not so much for, you know, like enlightening the public on how it came to be.
Does this movie even really exist? Did we really watch this?
It definitely exists. As a matter of fact, I made everyone watch it at a Christmas party one year.
This is just this shit that you just like leave playing in the background. Like when you're having a party and then people are just like, what the fuck am I watching?
The more we talk, the more I feel like that might be the genre of movie I enjoy the most. And I'm like engrossed in a lot of these movies. And you're like, yeah, this is just something you leave in the background. I'm like, I can see is where you would say that, but I'm very invested.
I just like the idea of somebody just like hanging out and just keeps looking up at the TV while they're trying to have a conversation. And eventually they get so distracted that they're like, okay, I gotta know what the hell this is. What is going on here?
Yeah. And the best part is if they get so distracted and they watch this movie, they'll get to the end of it and they won't know what the hell is going on here.
Yeah.
There's no way to know what happens in this movie. I have a very strong reading on it or a theory of what I think is happening.
And that's after watching it four times.
It's been fairly consistent, although I did think that the B story was more fleshed out than I remembered it being.
That was bizarre.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Found on Shelf, the podcast where we discuss movies that will baffle you in ways you didn't know you could be baffled. I am Patrick, one of God's favorite mistakes, and joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host, Dustin. Dustin, how are you doing tonight?
I'm baffled.
One might even say befuddled.
Oh my gosh, this was a movie I never knew existed. That I don't even like I mentioned to you, I don't even know if this movie actually does exist or if we just saw it in our own psyches. I don't know.
You know, the fun thing about this movie is it, you know, it's not one I have heard people talk about, and much like Low, I feel like that should change.
Yeah, this is I don't even know how you do talk about this movie. I was watching this and I was thinking, how the fuck are we going to do an episode on this? Because it's just weird.
I'm going to ask you a question. We briefly covered this before, but I don't know if I cut it or not. Dustin, if you woke up in a room and you were locked in a room and the only thing in the room was a penis on the wall, would you touch it?
See, now when you asked me this question before, I just assumed that you were talking about another Rocky Horror Picture Show extravaganza with the glory hole.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what I thought was going on.
But no. It's like I'm talking to Patrick. There's going to be gay sex at some point.
I didn't assume we were talking about little cherub penises.
it's so much weirder than anything you could have imagined.
I don't know. And for those who've listened to this podcast before, they're used to, they're used to hearing a trailer, and I couldn't even find a trailer worth playing because it was just nonsense and music. I don't even know what to say about this movie.
All right, so real quick, I'm going to drop in with a couple of hot facts. The movie we are talking about today is a Japanese film called Symbol, and it is from 2009. As of right now of the recording of this podcast in November of 2022, you can watch this streaming on Mubi. There are also full uploads of this on YouTube, but the subtitles probably aren't all that they're cracked up to be. You can watch this movie. It is not hard to find, but people are not watching it, and they are not talking about it. So it is the brainchild of Hitoshi Matsumoto, who is a very famous comedian in Japan. He's one half of the comedy duo Downtown. And, he's had an extremely successful career as part of that comedy duo. He's also written several books. He's made several movies. He's been in a lot of TV. Extremely successful person. This movie was not successful. It was kind of a huge flop.
I can see why.
Yeah, but it's so strange that I just had to highlight it. So I'm not really going to go into a lot about Matsumoto. He is a successful comedian. He's got some weird quotes here that make him seem like maybe he's an asshole, but I don't know the guy. Nothing mind-bogglingly scandalous that I can pull up, but also not a lot of information that's, going to be helpful for our purposes without reviewing his entire backlog, of which there's way too much to go through. And I don't know the availability of it. And I don't think they could really put this film in any greater context.
I don't think anything would.
Yeah. And that's all I have for the making of. So we're going to go from here. With that in mind, with no trailer, how would you pitch someone on this movie in 30 seconds or less?
All right. So imagine you're just in an elevator with some random people. And you're like, ooh, I want to convince these people to watch these movies. All right, so here's what you say.
Can I pause real quick?
Yeah.
I cannot imagine a world in which I am stuck in an elevator with someone and I'm trying to pitch them on this movie.
Like you're in the lobby, you get in the elevator, and you push like 10 and they push 12, and you're like going, all right, we're in this one for a minute. Let me tell you about something real quick. All right, so here's what you say to them, okay? If you've ever wanted to know how a Japanese man touching an angel's penis could affect an underground Mexican wrestling match, have I got a movie for you? And then just sit in awkward silence for the rest of the elevator ride.
Yeah, because there's not going to be a follow-up.
Yeah, no, whoever talks next loses, so you just let that one sit for a minute.
Much like in real sales, whoever talks next loses.
Yeah, okay. And if you get out of the elevator first and they don't say anything, you just slowly walk down the hallway and just walk away. Don't even look back at them, just go. Let me know how that works out for you.
Well, that's how it goes.
If that didn't make any sense, that is literally the plot of the movie. Like, that's it. Sort of. More stuff happens, obviously, but
it's weird because it's very clearly a comedy movie, but it's also very clearly an experimental art film. Mm-hmm. And it's a wild space to inhabit for both of those. So
yeah.
Symbol as a film opens with the B story. There's an A and a B story in this movie, and they do intertwine at some point.
Yeah, and you told me we're watching this Japanese film called Symbol. So I pull it up and I'm watching it and I see this intro scene. I'm going, I don't think I have the right movie. I'm not watching the right movie. Because it starts with a truck driving through Mexico playing mariachi music with a nun driving it.
A smoking nun.
Yes. And I'm like, this is not the right movie. Mm-hmm. And then, but I keep watching. I'm like, okay, well, let me just watch for a little bit longer. Maybe it changes. No, then we're in a house where there is a luchador, a Mexican wrestler, sitting with his mask on at the kitchen table. And I was like, going, this is not the right movie. And so I had to take a screenshot and send it to you. And I was like, is this the right movie? And you're like, yep, that's the one. I was like, oh, okay. Buckle up. I guess we're in for something.
Yeah, well, it kind of fits the theme of the text you sent me as you were watching it. Let's see. I have questions and I doubt any of them will be answered, was a good one.
Yeah.
And, I just finished watching this movie and I don't even know how we're going to talk about it. I don't know what to think. It's great. So the B story is about a luchador named Escargot Man, who mostly loses his fights, but seems to be a fan favorite with children and his family. Mm-hmm. His family consists of 10 to 12 year old son and his daughter, who is a nun who curses and swears. Mm-hmm. And then his parents who live in the house. Mm-hmm. This would be a good movie in its own right. I thought the characters were fun and kind of dynamic, and I'm always down for like members of the clergy who swear.
Yeah, smoke and cuss. It's always fun.
Like any good Catholic.
Yeah. So, and I'm sitting there watching this, going, "Okay, she's not really a nun. She's just part of his wrestling ensemble, and she's just dressed up like a nun." But no, later on, she's a nun. She's just running around cussing at everybody, getting all angry at traffic. Yeah. And I'm like, there's like this whole scene going on, and it literally feels like there's like you have two decks of cards and they just shuffle them together of movies, because like, you know, it's not just like a little thing. They go into that with the grandpa and the, you know, telling the kid to be bi and, you know, have a good day at school, and they're reading the newspaper, and it's like this long drawn out thing.
So I have a theory about why that exists that way.
Okay.
Because there's a very distinct movie in the A story, but it's also very strange. And there are long periods where either it's slapstick comedy or nothing is happening around this kind of experimental set. So I think the B story serves a dual function. And that is, when we get to the point of what the fuck is possibly maybe going on in this movie, one, it's extremely shocking, and two, you're invested in those characters when it is shocking. But I also think that it exists to provide action that you can be invested in around the long periods of this movie where not a lot is happening in terms of stakes.
Yeah, and they did need something to cut away to. Otherwise, it would just be that, and it would just be too much. And then but it was weird because when they cut away, it's like you're almost wanting more of that weird random shit. And you're like, this Mexican like family's cool and all, but what the hell's going on in this room? I really need to know. And it does a good job at like pulling you back in.
And I think the balancing act is really important for this movie. So the A story in simple, the main thing that you're here for. Oh boy.
Yeah, the nun picks up the Mexican dude, and then the truck takes off, and there's like these feathers that are coming off the back of the truck, and then the screen suddenly changes to the shot of the feather floating down, and it's just a dude in polka dot pajamas sleeping in the floor in the middle of a white room.
So what we see is it's a completely white slate room, and that's all there is. And it's a very like escape room or cube, the movie, right?
Yeah. No visible doors, no windows.
Yeah, and our man, our main character, the unnamed protagonist, who is played by Hitoshi Matsumoto, the writer and director of the film.
Figured as much.
It screams Vanity Project, doesn't it?
Yeah, I did like his jammies, though. I kind of want a pair.
The polka dot pajamas are pretty cool.
Like bright yellow with light blue and pink polka dots. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
So he wakes up in these pajamas in this room, doesn't know what's going on. But there's a weird looking switch on the wall.
Yeah. And it's so weird how it just cuts from this whole, you know, vibrant, you know, not vibrant, but whole alive scene of Mexico to this just
stark,
trapped in the room. Mm-hmm. Yeah, stark white everywhere. This little tiny switch, and he sees it, and he just like kind of walks up, and it's a cool shot. I like the way a lot of this movie is filmed. Mm-hmm. Actually,
there's a lot of dynamic shots in the film, which is good because, again, a lot of the action isn't really action, so the dynamic shots help create like movement and engagement where otherwise you wouldn't have any.
Right. Yeah. And it does good. Like this one is just, you, it's like kind of a focus of this object sticking out of the wall that you can't quite tell what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's just his face moving closer and closer and closer to it. It's about the size of his nose. And it vaguely looks like a small penis with a big ball sack.
But it is a smooth silicone white, the same color of the room.
Yeah. And then, I mean, after staring in this room with nothing on it and you see this thing poking out of the wall, you do what anyone does and you just you give it a little boop.
You just flick that dick.
And that's the sound it makes. They all make slightly different variations of the sound. But it's somewhat like that noise. And and then it just goes fucking bananas at this point.
So our main character flicks the dick and makes the sound. And out of the wall comes the cherub that the penis is attached to. And not only that, like hundreds of thousands of cherubs come swimming out of the walls. Mm-hmm. In this really unsettling scene. And then they all just recede back into the wall, except for their penises are sticking out. And now the room is covered in angel dicks.
Yes. Little cherub baby angel dicks.
Now, one might ask, where is this movie going? And but there's no way to guess or estimate what's going to happen to this fucking movie. Boy, does it keep upping the ante on the weird factor. But one thing is for sure, at that moment, if you had been watching up until this moment and then you see that, it would be hard not to be invested in what else is going to happen.
Right, and it's kind of, he just stands there with his finger in the air, just realizing that he had, I don't know if it's like I just touched the penis, or if he's like, my finger just caused all this madness to happen around me, and he just stares at his finger and just starts screaming. And then the screen like goes black and it says the words, the Japanese characters for learning.
Which is the first phase of the movie.
Yeah.
So there's a theme for this movie. And the first theme is learning.
Yeah.
Then it cuts back. And what we actually get is kind of learning, because he is walking around the room, touching different dick switches and seeing what happens. Because what is interesting is when he pushes them, something different will happen every time. Maybe chopsticks will fall out of the air. Maybe soy sauce will fall out of the air. Maybe someone will come running through the room. maybe a rope will drop from the ceiling. All kinds of things happen.
Yeah, and he pushes the first one down, and it's just like a toothbrush falls out. And he's just like, okay. And there's this noise too. So you've got all these different sounds.
What we should do is snap all of these sounds and hook them to a synthesizer and then redo our intro with just
oh my god. The sound of cherub penises. Mm-hmm. And orchestra. And
what do you guys do on your podcast all the day long? Well, we just dick around.
Yeah.
But I'm bumps.
Yeah, so he pushes one of them and a bullhorn just pops out. So he just grabs the bullhorn and just yells into it, "What's going on?" And then, of course, there's no response. So he pushes another one and then out pops a bonsai plant, like a big bonsai plant. Goes, pushes another one and it spits out a giant vase.
Yep.
And he looks inside the vase and we get a shot that's very reminiscent of the last movie we watched. Getting lucky when you look inside the bottle and you saw the little leprechaun, well, except for it was inside the bottle looking up.
Yeah, and this one, you don't see a leprechaun, but you do see Barbara Eden, who was missing in the last film. So it's a yeah. complete circle.
He pushes the penis and out pops chopsticks. So he pushes it repeatedly, mm-hmm. over and over again. And all these chopsticks just come flying out of the wall. And he's just got this giant pile of chopsticks. And I think he's like testing the limits. Like, how many times can I do this before it stops? And it doesn't stop. He just keeps doing it. And then he just gets tired and he pushes another one. And this little flat dolly cart just comes flying out and hits him in the leg. Yeah. And then he just gets all angry and he goes and he like punches one of them pretty hard. And it turns into a butt and just farts on him. A little... And he just yells, he grabs a bullhorn and just yells, "That stinks." It's just this, it's like, how do we really talk about this movie?
Well, I think we have to depart from like play by play for the most part. Like broad,
oh my God, it is just,
yeah, like broad stroke, sure. But I mean, like, just talk about like your interpretation of the film.
I mean, it's so bizarre because like, and then it just cuts right back to Mexico, and it cuts back to this, it cuts back to the B story, and it's like the kids are at school talking about the wrestling match, and they're talking about betting on Escargot Man and this and that, and then just like having this conversation, and it's like, oh, okay, this is another movie now. And then it's back to the white room, and it's just littered with random shit that the guy found while pushing buttons. Mm-hmm. Just all kinds of stuff everywhere.
Yeah. So,
and I.
So this first part, from his perspective, plays out like he's pushing the buttons and just, you know, for random sake, because he's got nothing else to do. He's trying to find stuff out, but also it seems like the cherubs are kind of fucking with him.
Yeah,
because like terrible, like we're not, I'm not like, there's some amazing gags in this, like, mm-hmm. That just escalate in out of completely over the top escalations for these gags. So it plays out with him learning and then also being tortured in a kind of comedic fashion, and very cartoonish by these angels.
There are two that come up. The two of the things that come up that I do have to talk about though. The sushi bit was pretty funny.
One of the switches on the wall gives him sushi, but no soy sauce.
Right.
So he keeps pushing different switches to try and get soy sauce, but each one just throws more sushi at him.
And he gets a giant pile of sushi and then he starts eating it, but he's eating it kind of slowly. And the camera just stays on him entirely too long as he's eating it, just has this kind of, not bad. Mm-hmm. And just eating it and keeps eating it.
And you can tell he's also extremely frustrated that he's eating. He's like hate eating it at this point. It's like, I need food, but I'm really pissed that I don't have soy sauce.
Yes. And then when he's done eating it, he pushes a switch. And what happens?
Soy sauce. And it's one he's pushed before.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, it's you think the switches do different things, but they kind of don't. Like one switch will do one thing, but then it will switch to doing something else. So it's kind of weird. And then you got the 3D glasses. One was pretty funny too.
Yeah. When he puts on 3D glasses, he can see some of the angels in the wall. And one of them is pointing to touch his,
say it
better. One of the angels is pointing. It's like, y'all come over here and flick my dick. So I picked this movie.
And after he flicks that one with the 3D glasses, there's these giant red numbers counting down from 10 with this weird kid's laughter. And by the time it reaches down to 1, this huge butt just comes down from the ceiling and farts on him. I was like, what in the fuck are we watching right now? I said that so many times in this movie. Like, I was thinking, how do I just talk to like my brother about this movie? There's no way I could just talk to somebody about this movie. It's just,
yeah. There's no work safe way to talk about this movie.
not really.
so it's a difficult one, right?
Yeah.
But the first half of this part of his story, this first part of this first act, It is him trying to just fucking around the room and kind of getting like tortured through these gags and stuff.
Right.
But then he accidentally steps on a switch that opens a door in the room. And he goes towards that door and it shuts in front of him right before he can get to it. So it's on a timer. What has happened is that the dick is only staying depressed for so long and then it pops back up. Again, I can see as well you can't talk to your brother about this movie.
You can't sound like you're sane and talk about this movie. Like, this movie does not exist. You are making this shit up. I'm like, no, it's real. I gotta tell you.
It's not bad. The rest of the movie from that point on is him trying to figure out a way to escape the room.
Yeah, and it felt very much, it kind of reminded me of like a Legend of Zelda kind of game.
That's what I told my partner, because I was thinking, like, it never occurred to me before, this feels like an adventure game, mm-hmm. or an escape the room, like Flash game. Each switch gives you a different item, and you're combining different items to try and solve a task. Very like, you know, Day of the Tentacle. Or
this is Day of the Testicles.
Okay, Escape from Monkey Island.
and so very Escape from Monkey Island-ish. He finally gets like the vase, and he tries everything. He tries ropes, he tries a fly swatter, he tries all sorts of stuff.
He tries weighted vases,
and then he's like, well, let me put the vase down here, but then the vase just pops right up. Then he gets this idea, because just a bit earlier he hit a switch and water poured down on top of him. He's like, okay. And I clipped this audio for you, because this is about the only English. I didn't bother clipping a lot of stuff, but this was the English. And it was a very weird scene, because it like took you out of the movie for a second, but it's him just like snapping his fingers with some like manga background action going on, explaining his thought process. Yeah. Here, I'll play it.
Pour enough water into jug. Jug gets heavy enough for the switch to be pushed. Door opens. Push door open and exit.
It's like a JoJo's character describing how their stand is going to win the fight.
Yes. Yeah. And then he tries to pour the water into the vase, except for when he hits a switch, the water literally follows him everywhere he goes instead of going into the vase. So it's just right on his head. Can't get enough water to fill it up. So that plan does not work.
So he comes up with a couple different, you know, MacGyver solutions. But what he ends up eventually doing is using a rope to swing across, right? And when he finally gets into the room, this door that, by the way, the door slides up and slides down vertically. He gets in there, and it's actually a small hallway corridor in which there is another door, and it's locked. So he has to quickly try to get back out before he gets trapped in this corridor, mm-hmm. and the door hits him. This is a repeating thing, because the door hits him every time. Mm-hmm. So then he has to try and find the key, and then this is the video game aspect, because then he finds the key, and he gets in there, and he unlocks it, and then he realizes there's a combination lock. And then he has to find the combination, which is a whole other thing. And he has to go back and he finds the combination. So eventually, the movie is playing out. This entire second half of the first act is him just, or I don't know, like the second, it's hard to divide this movie into strict acts.
Yeah.
But like the second half of the first hour, we'll say, is him trying to escape this film, the brunt of the middle is him trying to escape like this. And then that cuts back and forth with Escargot Man's journey, as you get to learn more about the fact that people don't really like him that much, and he's kind of sucks.
Yeah. And you also get a couple of extra of those kind of weird manga anime scenes of the plan in action. Like he'll try another one, and it'll show the whole plan, and that doesn't work. And then he'll try another idea, and that'll...
Does it do the rule of threes for comedy?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. I don't really think the joke ever really works that well, but it does break the fourth wall. And this movie is all about breaking the movie. It's about breaking movies.
It's about breaking my brain. I don't, it's breaking my grip of sanity.
Okay. So, I guess to talk about themes, we should talk about the last half hour of this film.
Yeah. So yeah, he finally gets out.
He finally gets into that room, and the door shuts. But now he can't actually open the door, because there's not enough space for him to open, and he's trapped. And he just collapses in despair in this very small room.
Yes.
But then he feels a draft and realizes this entire time, if he turned to the left, the wall to on the other side of the corridor that we can't see actually slides away, and there's an infinite hallway in front of him. Mm-hmm. And he just runs for the infinite hallway to try and get out of whatever situation this is. Because again, it's like Cube. He's trying to get the fuck out.
Yeah. And he gets out. Yeah. He's running down this infinite hallway. And then we're still kind of cutting back and forth. The wrestling match is just about to begin. And then it goes back to him and running through this hallway.
So the wrestling match is a tag team with two extremely vicious contenders. And they are beating the hell out of Escargot Man's much stronger counterpart. And then they tag Escargot Man in, and it's clear that they're about to beat the living daylights out of Escargot Man. So the action is continually increasing as we cut back to him, to our main character, who is unnamed again, just running down this empty hallway. This hallway, when I say it's empty, it is literally a bridge against an all-black background in nothingness.
Yeah.
But every time it comes back to him, he's still just running. It's an infinite hallway, or at least appears to be. Until this one.
Yeah, he gets into a new room now.
Yep, he walks into a new room. It's a much darker gray. There's no light source in this one. Or at least It's so far away from the light source. You can't really see it. And the door shuts behind him. And now he's trapped again in this giant circular room. And he hears laughter.
And now that he escaped the room with the small penis statues, mm-hmm. he is now in a room with full size adult angels.
Yeah, full size. So he's gone from cherubim. He's gone from cherubs to angels, right?
Yeah.
And so as we move up the angelic order, these are full size adult angels with full size penises, and all of these angels are hanging out the wall, kind of just laughing maniacally at him, like it's ominous at this point. It's very threatening. And then they receive
something that my boss told me at one time. He said, "Be careful, because the prize for being first place in a pie eating contest is more fucking pie."
I thought you were going to tell me the prize for being first place in a pie eating contest was angel dick.
A wise man once told me, "Eat more pie, touch angel dicks." I don't know what that meant. Now I do.
And they recede back into the wall, so you can't see them anymore. And now there's just a whole bunch of bigger dicks sticking out the wall. Except if you look all the way at the top, there's like a light source all the way at the top. And a couple of angels kind of just flying around towards the top, almost like vultures.
Yeah.
And so he's going to try and see what these pieces do. So he goes to flick the switch, and it's real dramatic because it's like the POV shifting back and forth from him to I'm thinking of a different scene with the POV shot, but the actual camera's cutting back from him to the match increasingly quicker as he gets closer and closer to the penis switch, and he's not even technically walking. They clearly have him like on a dolly, and they are rolling him, so he looks like he's gliding, like he's Lily Munster.
Yeah. Or
gliding toward angel dick.
As this wrestling match is going on in the background, and Escargot Man is just getting his ass kicked. And right when he is about to like get hit in the head with a chair, we cut back to the Japanese guy again, who touches the penis. How you explain this, because I don't even know how to explain this
properly. So Escargot Man's neck elongates at a frightening velocity and knocks his opponent out. And because nothing happened in the room, it's confused our main protagonist, so he presses it again, and Escargot Man's neck rapidly goes back in the other direction and knocks his other opponent out. And Escargot Man has won their match, and now he's in the victory circle.
When we say extends out, it's like, it almost reminds me of when you play like whack-a-mole at the arcade, and the head just it literally extended out like banana almost. It was.
Have you ever had a Stretch Armstrong doll?
Yes. Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, it was very much just pulled out and drooped over to the side.
It's unnatural and unnerving, and it's great. But then they're in the victory circle, but nothing's happened in the penis room. So our protagonist is just like frustratingly just flicking it over and over and over again. So now Escargot Man, who is not in control of any of this, his head just is, his elongated neck is just whipping back and forth, knocking everyone out. His partner, the referee, his own child, the victory bell over and over again.
Just ding, 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 ding. And then you see it goes back to him in the room going, wing, 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 wing.
At some point, a title card drops. I don't know if it has dropped or is about to drop, but it says practice before this horse. So we've gone from learning to practice. And that's important.
Yeah.
So all of this is practice. So nothing happens there. So our protagonist goes and he pushes a different one. And we cut to LA where this aging rock band that's very clearly a Kiss parody, which was, by the way, their makeup was fantastic because instead of like frightening things, they like have like black glasses drawn over white face paint. That's genius.
It's great.
And so they're having their concert and everyone's really into it. It's this scene that's really building it up. And our protagonist flips a switch and the lead singer just belts real fire hundreds of feet across the entire stadium out through the exit door forever.
Yeah. Because he's holding the penis down. Bee!
Yeah.
And shooting out.
Mm-hmm. And this is what we continue to see, is him touching things and them having an immediate effect in the real world.
Yeah. So I didn't get the Russian. Well, I think I figured it out eventually. Because it was like this Russian televised magic show. And then like the guy goes to make his assistant. I think he goes to make her disappear. But then he pushes the button so she doesn't disappear.
Yeah, it's a great anti-joke. Like okay. Instead, in your mind, you're thinking, oh, he's going to make her really disappear. But what is actually happening is he is fucking with the way the trick is supposed to work, and the mechanism doesn't go off, so she's still really there. It's genius. The joke is amazing.
That was pretty good.
But it also is not really that obvious. So it's another part of the problem with the movie.
What just happened
is that
here?
A lot of the points of the humor are, it's so over the top, but also slightly to the left of the point.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And then this is one part that was in the trailer. One of the only parts in the trailer was the dude in China surrounded by dogs. And then all of a sudden he just barks at the dog and the dogs all freak out. It's just very weird things just happening all over. But him in the room is not aware of any of this shit happening at all.
Not yet, anyway.
Right.
And so what he decides to do is he looks straight up. Nothing's happening in the room when he's touching the switches, so that's not helping him. And he can't figure out how to escape, but he looks straight up and he sees the light. So his idea is to grab hold of these penises, like footholds, mm-hmm. and scale the wall one dick at a time.
As one does.
So as he grabs
so he gives you life one dick at a time.
You know, I don't judge you. As he goes to climb, every time he grabs another dick, something happens in the real world. So you see flowers bloom. You see lightning strike. You see storms happen. You see crashes and all this stuff. So every time he grabs something, it cuts to the other. And at this point, techno music starts.
Yes.
Very almost Darude-esque. But he's climbing, and we cut back and forth between him climbing to tech the music and these scenes in the real world, but he starts climbing faster, and then he starts floating. And he's he's controlling the ticks with like magical powers at this point. And then he's conducting. He's waving his arms as he ascends upwards towards the light, and it lights up.
Growing longer and his beard growing out,
which to me symbolizes the passage of time, right? Like this is taking a very long time, an endless ascent to transcendence. And he's like, he'll like wave his whole arm, and like a whole row of dicks will light up like the eastern seaboard, and shit will happen.
Yes. Oh God. This is what happens. How, like, I'm watching this going, what, how, like, why, what are we even,
this was the most,
like, who thinks of this? How did this guy come up with this idea?
I don't know. I'm concerned, but I was so excited for you to get to this part.
It was just like, I'm watching, at one point I'm just going, all right, yep, that's just what's happening. He's just, it's a symphony of penises is just making madness happening. And he like makes it to the top of this thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's another room.
Yeah. And like, what, it's like he just stares at this kind of blank canvas and all of a sudden, like.
So as he's staring at the blank canvas, instead of angels this time, we see the continents of Earth kind of like protrude out of the wall in this kind of gray color. And you hear sounds filtering in, traffic and people and birds. And he's staring at something. And then the camera cuts to it. And we see an absolutely giant dick.
Yep, yep.
With like a ray of light surrounding it. And he is grizzled at this point with long hair. By the way, if you've noticed, his pajamas have become completely white, like he is Gandalf in his transcendence.
Yeah, because when he first went in the room with the big angels, it started turning gray. Mm-hmm. And now it's, yeah, turned completely white. Very Jesus-esque look to him right now.
Mm-hmm. And then it cuts away to a final title card that says Future.
And at this point, I'm thinking, oh my God, how much more of this movie is there? Where else could it go?
And it's perfect because what happens is without any sound, without any like background noise, just the sound of him walking, he walks toward the giant penis with his finger outstretched and the whole thing cuts to black and credits roll.
And it was at that point I just said, what the ever loving fuck?
So anyway, he became God.
Apparently so.
And if you want to know what the official religious stance of the podcast is, God is a Japanese man in a room playing with dicks.
Yeah.
And I'm comfortable with that.
Right. Yeah. It makes you think a lot. It makes you kind of question things. And, you know, I was thinking, you know what? After watching this, I was like, I think now I understand. I understand what these Catholic priests have been doing this whole time.
Jesus Christ.
But did I get the wrong takeaway from this movie?
We'll see if that one makes it to air. Jesus Christ. God damn it.
Oh. This movie has warped me. I don't.
Yeah, the themes of the movie are weird because honestly, it's the guy is in a room, kind of just isolated from everything. Clearly, the arc is he's learning how the process works, and then he's practicing the process, and then he transcends into God. Hmm. What that actually says about anything beats me because there's no real like ties to it, but. Also, you know, I kind of think back to what David Lynch said one time.
Always a good start.
Always a good start. Someone was asking him to explain his movies, and he's like, I don't know why. I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the exact interview. But he's like, I don't know why people are always want art to make sense. Life doesn't make sense. So...
All right.
In that vein, which, by the way, if you think about that, will really help you understand David Lynch movies if you have a problem with that. But if you view this movie in that vein, I think it makes it better.
Yeah.
It's a lot like the vibe of like rabbits without the ominous threat implicit in the existence of rabbits.
Yeah. Don't go like expecting a plot, expecting an outcome. Go to just watch and experience and just go, okay, that was a thing that happened and I witnessed it.
To quote Hunter S. Thompson, buy the ticket, take the ride.
Yeah. And that's really all you can do with this. Cause it's a ride.
It's fun. Like there's two aspects to watching this movie. Watching it the first time, you have the what the fuck experience the whole time, and then you get through with it, and like, wow, that sure was a hell of a thing. But the second fold aspect of this is making other people watch it, because it's so much fun to make them experience the same thing.
Yeah, I used to do that, but it was like with Visitor Q and Ninja the Killer. I can watch this movie. It's fun.
Yeah. You know, convincing people Dear Zachary is a comedy, so they put it on and then get disturbed by it for the rest of their life. Like someone, and maybe he did.
That went too far. I apologize. Yeah.
You know, that's one thing, but like showing someone that's a movie that's not just gonna fuck them up, but it's just like beyond comprehension in any kind of like that's kind of the vibe of this one, right? It's just weird for weirdness sake. I don't know if this guy had any real like specific artistic intention with this movie. I think he did. It feels very much like a vanity project. God knows if I can parse what the fuck it was.
Yeah, it seemed like it was capable of having a message, but he wasn't capable of delivering a message. He just was like, I have this idea. I don't know where it goes, but I'm just going to throw it out there. And here it is. And here we are talking about it. It's just, has he done any like other weird shit like this?
You know, I haven't dug into his back catalog, but I think that I should. I know one of his bigger hits is Big Man Japan. So Big Man Japan is a mockumentary about a normal guy who's pretty unimpressive, except for he has the ability to grow to 30 meters tall.
All right.
And then like... he has to protect the world against giant monsters and stuff. So like absurdism and surrealism are aspects of what he's doing.
All right.
Which makes sense because a lot of Japanese comedy does kind of border more on absurdism than say some American stuff. It's not that it's more or less cartoonish, but like big, right? You got to think big, expressive.
Yeah.
I think that definitely translates to what's going on here.
Yeah, I like it. Like I want to see more weird. I like I like shit that's not expected. And I think that's a problem with too many movies is it's just too expected. There's too many like cutaway shots happening. Let the camera just kind of sit on things uncomfortably for a couple seconds and just see where it goes. And I like that about this film.
See, that's what I like too, because there's a couple things that I like. One, I think that it is the job of art to make people uncomfortable. And that doesn't necessarily mean like morally so, but just like cringe or just like that something should be happening. I like the idea or ominous. I just like that idea. Mm-hmm. So I get that. And then, the other thing that I like that you said is that I'm really more experience over substance, right? It's not that I devalue substance, but I do value experience, right? Not necessarily novelty to an extent, but just like I want to have that experience. It's buy the ticket, take the ride. I want to be along for the ride. And I like anything that gives me that opportunity.
Yeah, and this is definitely a ride. And now I'm like, I'm tasked with like trying to find. And I do have one in mind that is going to be in a little while. We're gonna watch it. But yeah, I'm trying to find more of these obscure, random movies that you just watch and you go, "What the hell?" And like, first of all, you think like, what the fuck is this movie? And then you think, how have I never seen or heard of this before? Like, those are the two things I like. When you're like, why am I watching this? And why have I never watched it before?
Exactly.
It's a good combination to have.
So, what else?
I don't know what else to really say about this movie. This was just it was an odd one.
I'll say a couple things in closing before I pivot it over to you for some other stuff. But look, this movie's weird. There's no way around that. That's the point. That's the selling point. If you like weird shit, and if you've listened to this much of the podcast, this podcast, you clearly have to like weird shit. Give this movie a check out. It's fun. It's strange. It's something you haven't seen before. And like I say, with my recommendations, whether or not the movie you watch is good, whatever I pick for you, whatever I'm trying to try to pitch to you, it's not going to be something you forget. And I think that this is a memorable film, and I think you should give it a shot.
You may not enjoy it, but you'll never forget it.
Exactly. Like Trauma. Now, Dustin, if you had to fix this movie,
oh boy,
but only made three changes.
In a way, I brought you here to offer you a job. You think you can do it better, so here's your chance.
What would you dick around with first?
God. Low is a very hard movie to try to make changes to, because anything that you change is, I mean, when the movie's just so bizarre and random, like any changes is just going to change the whole movie essentially. But in the nature of the game, I had to come up with one. So I would maybe trim down some of those scenes in Mexico, like the kids in school. I mean, I at the end of it, I see where it's going, but I don't think that they added much to the actual B story itself. So it could have been, you could have had more about the wrestler there and less about like the kid. But again, like, I don't, it wasn't a bad thing. I'm just like, maybe that could work. I don't know. I did like the manga cutscenes. There was three of them and they kind of went nowhere. I would have almost liked one or two more of those in a weird sort of way. Just because they were batshit crazy and I like batshit crazy.
Swing from rope like Tarzan.
Yes. I would have liked more scenes with the cussing nun, because she kind of just disappeared at one point and they never saw her again. And
she was my favorite character in the movie.
I wanted more of her. I think
I love that swagger. It was great.
Yeah, she's got a very, and she's like, at one point she's yelling at people. She's like, "You son of a bitch!" And just yelling. She's yelling at cops, like, "Why aren't you arresting him? Look at him!" You're great. I wanted more of her. That was probably my number one complaint about the movie. The other ones I really had to go fishing for, because they were just, it was. I mean, what can you change on this movie to make it better? I don't think
you can, because there's not really improving this, right? It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah. And I don't know. I was at such a loss at this. God, I got to think of three things. What the hell do I come up with?
how many did you give us just out? One, two? You gave us two. You said, let's cut down some scenes and more none.
That's two. Well, cut down some scenes, more none. And more of those, the manga cutscenes.
Yep. There you go. That's three. You got it.
And I'll just keep booping and hawing away.
Well, everyone, that's probably going to do it for us this week, unless you had anything else you wanted to add.
God, I don't even know what I could add. This was a truly, truly bizarre experience. I would have absolutely never ever watched this movie before. And I'm glad I did, because it was just weird. And I like that. So, yeah, good pick.
Fantastic. I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad it was a good, it went over well. If you guys liked it, that's awesome. If you haven't watched it yet, give it a shot. It's pretty easy to come by. And if you could please join us here next week, we are here every other week on New Video Tuesday. And you could reach out to us on all social media right now. Social media is a landscape that is ever changing since a certain insane capitalist decided to just blow up Twitter, but we're still on Twitter.
Well, who knows? This isn't going to come out for like 4 months.
It might not exist by then. It might just be 4chan. I don't know. Yeah. So
just come find us on insert social media here and find us. Yeah.
Yeah. Found on Shelf Pod, all one word, on whatever social media you are. If you find us on Tumblr, we will be having nipples. So their nipples are back.
Oh, and I have to say, I give this movie 4 out of 5.
That movie is fucking weird. I love it. What are we watching?
Oh, you know what? I forgot to ask. How did you discover this movie in the first place?
The same friend who turned me on to Lo about 10 years ago had a file downloaded like this, and she showed it to us. And then I took that file and just have kept playing it.